The first threat didn't rattle me. It was Monday after all, and Monday was always the wildest show of the week. The phone lines jammed with callers who had been forced to put a cork in their unwieldy, increasingly combustible feelings for me all weekend long, and were now set to explode. The show's tone mellowed considerably as the week went on, but Mondays? Unpredictable, messy, raw. They were my favorite. "You're on air with Gail Gideon," I said on that particular Monday, leaning into the microphone. "Tell me everything, starting with your name." On the other end of the line, there was a woman crying, her hurried flood of speech so garbled that it sounded more like water rushing through a storm drain than words. "Deep breath, caller," I said. "I can't help you if I can't understand you." A note of annoyance escaped into my voice, but that was fine. I wasn't my listener's mommy. They didn't call me to be coddled, and if they did, they quickly realized their mistake. Through the glass partition, the engineering booth was now a beehive, disturbed. Simone, my producer, met my gaze and muttered something with bite to her assistant, Anne, who responded with a noticeable cringe. Anne was in charge of screening callers. Emotional callers made for a great show. Incoherent ones did not. Whoever this was on the line, she was Anne's mistake. Claire, my engineer, tried to pick up the slack by moving her hands over the audio board, apparently in search of a magical dial that could isolate the voice within the caller's sobs. And there it was. Claire had done it. Anne was saved. The caller's voice, still soggy and hiccuping now, too, slipped through my headphones. "Is it really you, Gigi?" For most of my life, only my family and friends had called me Gigi, but when the press latched onto the nickname 9 years ago, my listeners had quickly followed suit. Of all the many strange things that came along with being a public figure, this had proven among the hardest to grow accustomed to. Strangers calling me by the nickname that my parents had given me 40 years earlier. It was hard not to think of my father when this happened. I knew better than to wonder if he was listening. He had once told me that my show was not his cup of tea. "Yes, I'm right here," I said. "What's your name?" Abruptly, the caller's wet breathing quieted.
"You ruined everything, Gigi,"
she hissed. I suddenly had the distinct impression that her anguish had been an act, her ticket to getting on air. Now her voice honed to a glinting dagger, and inside of me something leapt to life, sharpening in response.
"And in return, I'm going to ruin your fucking life."
I cut the call. There was a 7-second delay, but even without it, I knew that Claire, who claimed to have the fastest fingers in radio, would have managed to mute the word fucking. Claire had a fair amount of experience with this sort of censorship. For every 100 generous, grateful listeners, there was one crazy woman, or man, they were often men, who hated me with an intensity that I knew could not possibly, at its core, have anything to do with me. I was just an attractive target. A successful single woman with a lot of opinions about the power of women, and a live radio show that welcomed call-ins. Radio, like the internet, offered a cloak of anonymity that suited harassers perfectly. Add to that the dark hours of night during which I was on air, and the Gail Gideon Show had proven itself catnip for crazies. Simone and I usually let those sorts of calls roll for as long as we could, well aware that Martin Jansen, Talk 960's program director, loved angry listeners. Whenever Martin heard that we'd received a threatening phone call, he'd do this overexcited blinking thing, like he was having trouble seeing around all of the advertising money that was piling up in front of him.
"Enraged is engaged," he liked to say.
To Martin, those types of calls were simply proof that the millions of women who tuned into my show didn't think of me as a disembodied voice on the radio. I was someone familiar enough to hate.
"You're not just the Gail Gideon," he'd tell me. "You're their Gail Gideon."
He was right about one thing. Those calls were great entertainment. Often I'd spar with a caller, never losing the upper hand, and later my listeners would phone in and email and tweet and post to Facebook to voice their support. The fervor of those callers didn't scare me. In fact, I'd say I thrived on it. I enjoyed showing off my strength, flexing my muscles. More and more lately, I looked forward to those kinds of calls, their unpredictability, their infusion of color. But if a caller resorted to threats, I cut the call. My house, my rules. My audience had grown to expect nothing less.